One of the more traditional aspects of the state legislative session will shift into high gear later this week. That's because it's the final week for bills to be heard in their committees of origin, so we should see some thinning of the herd. With me to preview that and other issues to watch at Arizona's Capitol are Ben Giles and Paulina Pineda of the Arizona Capitol Times. Paulina, first to you, how important is this Friday when it comes to bills for this session? Will a lot of those bills be declared dead?
This Friday the 16th is the last day to hear bills in committee in the House they originated in before they are transferred to the other chamber. If they aren't heard in committee by Friday, there's a good chance they'll die. There are other opportunities for them to be brought up, either in strike everything bills or just in other parts of the process. I'm not sure I would say rare, but it's harder for them to be voted on later on in the process. The House Speaker J.D. Mesnard said that some members have pushed to extend the deadline a week, especially with the special session and everything that happened with the harassment investigation, the expulsion 2 weeks ago now. But he says they're on track to finish. They'll be very busy this week with committee hearings, and they're getting on the floor at 1 just to give them a little bit extra time.
So, Ben, how often does that happen when we see things that maybe lay people think bills are dead and they come back to life? How easy or difficult is that when it comes to this?
Well, there's a reason there's a term we use down at the Capitol called zombie bills. Nothing is ever really officially dead until the last day of session and they gavel out, signy die. There are opportunities to amend an issue to another bill. The strike everything measure Paulina mentioned is basically an amendment that swaps one bill out for another entirely. And certainly people use the budget process. That'll happen closer to April this year, I'm sure, where people try and get their policy issues in the budget. So there are a lot of different sneaky ways to make sure something gets through, even if at the end of this week the bill has not been heard in committee, as is the standard procedure for how they would pass.
Paulina, as you mentioned, a couple weeks ago is when Don Shooter got his expulsion notice. Where are we at now in terms of what Speaker Mesnard, the policy? I understand there really isn't a policy yet, but there's been a step forward to how this policy is going to come about. Tell us about that.
After the report came out, Speaker Mesnard announced that he would push for a harassment policy and also a behavioral code of conduct. The code of conduct hasn't been drafted or written yet, but last Thursday, the House voted to amend its rules to include the anti-harassment policy and the code of conduct. It'll be included under two sections, under the Speaker's powers and then under a new rule they created called code of conduct. The Speaker will have pretty much unilateral power to create a anti-harassment policy, or they call it a harassment prevention policy, and a code of conduct for staff members. And then lawmakers will have the opportunity to approve and amend a harassment policy and code of conduct that will apply to them.
Ben, let's move to the Senate with the Senate President, Steve Yarbrough. Often seems to be involved with private school scholarships. That's my characterization. So what is he proposing now when it comes to tuition organizations, when it comes to what people can donate and the impact of the growth in the general fund and how it's affecting that?
Clearly, the Senate President, Steve Yarbrough, often seems to be involved with this because it was a business interest of his for the better part of two decades. He, up until the end of 2017, ran one of the oldest school tuition organizations. And Steve, as you put it, we're talking about scholarships for students to attend private schools. And those scholarships are funded with public dollars. In particular, the largest tax credit that helps provide funding for those scholarships is a corporate income tax credit that stands in about the $70 million range right now. And that means a corporation, rather than paying income tax to the state, can donate money to this credit. And then those dollars are then given to students to, instead of going to an Arizona public school, go to a private, possibly Christian school. Steve Yarbrough wants to change the way that cap in the amount of tax credits businesses can claim has grown. And it has grown astronomically every year it's been in effect, because it grows by 20% every year. And just for the sake of comparison, the formula that funds public schools in Arizona grows by at most 2% annually. Yarbrough is offering an olive branch, sort of, depending on who you talk to here. He's offering to lower the inflator from 20% over the course of 5 years to 2.5%. But in doing that, he's also looking to expand other tax credits that go to private school scholarships.
I think I can guess the answer to this, but what's been the reaction from whether it's Senator Farley, whether it's folks like Children's Action Alliance?
They don't like it. They think it's, in the words of Senate Minority Leader Katie Hobbs, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's primarily because there's some debate about whether or not there is enough corporate income tax to go around in the state for a higher cap, if it's $100 million, $200 million, mm-hmm. for there to be enough to actually meet that cap. You know, Senate President Yarborough will tell you that this is going to save hundreds of millions of dollars because the cap won't be as high. But what budget analysts have pointed out is that there might not actually be an appetite to continue to contribute so much corporate income to that tax credit because corporate income taxes in Arizona are so low. So where's the money going to come from to continue to meet that cap?
Ben Giles and Paulina Pineda of the Arizona Capital Times. Guys, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So much.